is my pleasure to present.
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Hour number two, welcome in. I think, by the way, just a feeling, I think they've got the weather wrong today. It's going to heat up later this week in a big way. Oh, and a reminder, I will not be here for that, though. I'll be here for one of those days. I am gone Friday. Jay Matt filling in.
Call it Jat.
On Friday. They say the high today is going to be 84. When I
call shenanigans?
When I got up and got my car this morning at 4:30, it was 64 degrees. And you know when you go outside and it's still comfortable, but then if you step into the sun, you just feel that the sun is hotter than it usually is. And I know that's not scientifically the case, but it really, truly feels hotter when you stand in it.
Mm-hmm.
I just went outside. That's how it feels. I think we're getting above 84. 84, nah.
84, schmatey-four.
I don't, dude, sorry.
Are we getting above 109 on Friday? Because that's what we're calling
for
right now.
No, because I've also found this out too, dude. Have you noticed at all that how many times over the last couple of years, I watch this stuff. I'm kind of a mini weather nerd. How often have you seen, like, a week out, the iPhone weather, Android weather, if you're, you know, unfortunate enough to have one, it'll say, like, it's going to be 117 next Thursday, and then everybody talks about it all week, and then it ends up being 108. Or it said, you know, I'm exaggerating. It says 108 next Thursday, and then it's being 101.
You know, I don't track that stuff.
Yeah,
honestly.
Dude, I'm telling you, I think honestly, I mean, I'm putting my tinfoil hat on right now. I think weather people do that as just like a kind of sly way to get you to pay more attention to weather. How many times have you
Are
seen...
Are you a weather conspiracy theorist?
Listen to me. Now, we have had some very, very serious hurricanes in this country, and I don't want to mess around. And I would rather weather people err on the side of caution, right, and overstate than understate any day of the week. But how many times have we seen that, like, this crazy weather thing, and I'm not just talking about hurricanes, but, oh, we're going to have all this crazy 17 inches of rain in Sacramento, and then it's like, oh, well, it only ended up being one.
So I feel like the rain stuff, I've definitely seen that pattern. I remember there was a couple times, we got this huge storm coming in, and next thing you know, a lawn chair is the only thing
they
kind of.
They get the weather theme out. Right. It's like, we're on Weather Watch 2021, and then it shows up, and it's like, drip.
They're
like,
flying in meteorologists from around the country to talk about the rainfall.
And there's a reason why we have those memes with, like, the one lawn chair overturned. It's like, we'll recover from this. I think they do the same thing with heat, dude. I think it's deep weather. There's deep weather out there. The central, the deep weather that over-exaggerates the reports. So my guess is it's going to be hotter than 84 today. And my second guess is that Thursday it says 109.
106.
106, 105, 104. Ain't going to get. I'm taking the under. That's what we should have.
Until it's 115.
Oh, my God. Could we get over unders on iPhone weather?
No.
It'll never happen because everyone will take the under, dude. Except today I take the over. Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
Hey, BJ. The broadcast, all series has picked up a lot of you and Joe Ingles talking, either, you know, in between plays or free throw line. What's your relationship with him like now, you know, 3 years removed from the series when you were with Thunder? What are you guys good, or what's your relationship?
I don't care about him. Next question.
Wow.
Paul George with a lot of put a lot of thought into that answer.
Yeah. Come on, playoff Paul.
Playoff P.
Yeah.
No one calls him playoff Paul.
I do. I like to use his full name.
No.
Playoff Paul George.
No, that's even worse.
I don't care about him. Okay.
Boy. Well,
then you do. Because that's the equivalent.
He's in your head.
when an athlete says something like that, I don't care about him, next question. That's the equivalent of, and you saw this a few times Saturday, that's when a fighter gets hit and they laugh or they shake their head like, that didn't hurt me. No, that's instantly telling me that that got you.
Mm-hmm.
That instantly tells me that that shot hurt when you smile or when you shake your head. No, definitely got through your guard, brother. In this case, Paul, it's your words, but it's one of those,
And it's okay to say, yeah, Joe Ingles is annoying, whatever other adjectives you want to use to describe him.
Right.
Because Joe Ingles is super annoying.
Sure.
Joe Ingles, not just one of the most annoying faces in the NBA, but just a personality. That first quarter when he was looking like Steph Ingles from Beyond the Arc, I was like, this is gonna be really, really annoying. I was actually happy the Clippers came back and smacked them.
Now you've got a situation where Paul could have very well said, yeah, Joe Ingles is annoying. And he's like a gnat in your ear. But you know what? That's basketball. He's out there to do a job. I'm out there to do a job. And in the end, we're both trying to help our teams win.
Say something snarky even, though. Like, yeah, you know, Joe Ingles for an old man, you know, can play a little bit still.
Play the old Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I didn't see him. What, he finished 131st place? Yeah, I won the tournament. You know,
where's Joe Ingles' All-Star game appearances?
Oh, yeah, he doesn't have any. Next question. Yeah, go Shooter.
All-League Joe Ingles.
Oh, full Shooter McGavin. All right. Soundgarden number two.
Soundgarden.
This is the best time for the Heat, so I wish him nothing but the best. And if he ever wanted to come back, then I'll put a new shiny key under that mat.
Wow.
But I can't. I just got – this will just get me fine.
And it did.
And it did. Pat Riley, fine for tampering.
I hate that that's a tampering thing, by the way. Like, really?
Come on. We say it every time. Draymond Green can go straight to the parking lot and call Kevin Durant and say, we need you. But Pat Riley can't. The guy who used to have LeBron James on his team can't say, we'll leave a key under the mat for you.
But that's my point. All 29 other GMs could have made the same comment and been hit with tampering. And it's like, simply saying what we all know that, hey, you know, if LeBron James wanted to come play for my team, that would be fine. That's tampering. That's tampering.
Because at that point, is LeBron going to hear that and go, you know,
gosh,
I hadn't thought of that.
Miami.
I wonder if I can get out of this contract.
Huh. Trade demand coming next.
Please.
I'm like, geez, man, let's grow up.
Hey, a quick question, then we'll move on. If LeBron James signed with the Heat next year, this can't happen. If LeBron James signed with the Heat next year, are they the favorites to win the title?
Probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Everything else stays as is.
Wouldn't you want to see LeBron and Jimmy Butler on the same team?
I think that would be fun. Can you imagine Jimmy Butler yelling at LeBron James?
I think Jimmy Butler would be the one guy in the league that would yell at LeBron James and just be like, yeah, bro, what is it?
Soundgarden number three.
Soundgarden.
He installed our offense and, you know, kind of threw everything at him. I think he's a guy that, again, that hasn't had the experience of some others, so we've got to get him multiple looks at many different plays and really find out what he does best and what our team does best, because every year things change in the National Football League. And so just trying to get a feel for how much he can really handle. And I think he's done a great job of being intentional about his work, how he goes out to practice every day. And I think it's paying off for him. I think he's made some progress.
Matt LaFleur of the Packers on Jordan Love. It is the, I'd love to see somebody put a compilation together. It is the annual summertime NFL coaches gushing about their quarterback season. And it's everybody but Bill Belichick. And by the way, Bill Belichick hasn't had a rookie quarterback in forever. But Bill's the type of guy that'd be like, hey, how's John Smith, your number two overall pick quarterback? If that was the case, and Bill would be like, well, you know, I mean,
shows up to practice.
Got a lot to learn.
Yeah, has two arms.
He's a little overwhelmed right now.
One of them can throw. The other one, I'm sure he uses it for other purposes.
I think he'll be working at Applebee's in 2 years, but that's just me.
By the way, Bill Belichick also having some nice things to say about Mac Jones, so I think he's finally starting to get on the gushing about your quarterback carousel.
Everybody does this, and I mean, he's a Kyle Shanahan. It's like, Trey Lance, man. I mean, Trey Lance.
Dude,
you got to love for Jimmy Garoppolo.
I saw over the weekend, because we were talking about it, just all these NFL coaches and GMs doing way too much media right now. And Kyle Shanahan did an interview, a podcast with a big Bay Area. And I was like, oh, I should listen to this. I'm like, why am I going to do this again? I've noticed a trend with all of these head coaches in front offices. Every interview is exactly the same. It's just a different person interviewing them. Every answer is the same. Doesn't matter the question.
Imagine anybody in your job, imagine this. Imagine your boss or the owner of your team or your work or whatever. Imagine they hired the person and sent out a company-wide email that was like, this person's eventually going to take Jay Mars' job, but not yet. We're rolling with Jay this year.
I'm also on the email.
And then you're all in the email. And then all year long, it's all about how this person is just amazing and they're going to... It would be, I don't feel for Jimmy Garoppolo. He's good looking and rich, and he's a quarterback, and that's fine. But man,
that sucks.
It's just a tough spot, dude.
Especially when you're like, you're expected to be a part of a Super Bowl contending team, like
right.
a major right. part, and they're already talking about your replacement.
I've decided I'm rooting for the Niners to win the Super Bowl this year, just for the offseason LOLs.
That is, listen, if the Niners win the Super Bowl this year,
yeah.
that offseason is going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome. And Trey Lance gets traded to the Jets. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
Because Zach Wilson burned out after one season in New York.
He goes back to, goes and plays for Denver. Nate Diaz had a weekend. We'll talk about his place in combat sports. Chris Paul. Could he be wearing a ring? We'll talk about the chances there. And Le'Veon Bell. Is Le'Veon Bell. Nobody defends Le'Veon Bell like Le'Veon Bell. And we'll talk about why next.
One, two, three. It's three for madness time. Three for madness. Three questions, three answers.
One, two, three. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
Little known fact here. In preparation for his role... In The Last Jedi, in between Return of the Jedi and The Last Jedi, Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker, had to age 39 years in order to pull off that role. It's pretty impressive. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Jay. Second weekend in a row, people watching sports thought an absolute tragedy was unfolding in front of themselves live on the air. One ended up not being one in the big scheme of things, John Rahm. But over the weekend, we Mount Rushmore everything. I'm not doing it to this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of the scariest things I've ever seen involving the sports. And that's not hyperbole. That's not somebody breaking a leg or twisting it. This was truly brings tears to your eyes. Scared to death type of stuff. We'll talk about that at 7:35. Three for madness in the meantime. Jay Mars, question one.
All right, this is a really good one because I wrote it. Is Nate Diaz the most entertaining fighter in all of combat sports? And if not, who's the most entertaining fighter currently in either boxing or MMA?
So, in boxing, I mean... I'm just thinking of the best.
Pauls.
Who?
The Paul brothers.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at the best. Canelo?
Not the best fighter, just the most entertaining.
No, I know. Anthony Joshua.
Who sells the most paper? Hey, Anthony Joshua.
Wilder.
Maybe Wilder. Tyson Fury's pretty entertaining.
Tyson Fury's probably the most entertaining of all of them. But none of
I enjoy Tyson Fury.
I do, too. I do, too. But it just doesn't jump off the page.
MMA.
MMA, I think it's a tie. Not a tie. I think there's two guys in the running, and they fought each other twice, and that's Diaz and McGregor. Listen, Diaz is probably the most entertaining in the octagon.
Mm-hmm.
McGregor is the most entertaining leading up to, and by the way, he's very entertaining.
You can't even read.
And so is Diaz. You know, they're both very good. I would give McGregor the edge on the promotion slightly. I would give Diaz the edge in the octagon.
I feel like before those two retire, we need to see their powers combine again for one more big pay-per-view buy.
Oh, you will. Oh, you will.
It's too much money on the table, right?
You 100% will. You 100% will. I think the thing with Dana, and he's playing this so smart, he knows that they're both tremendous. He can put either of those fighters against anyone on any card and instantly boost that card. If he has them fight again, one of them will lose and probably put a little chink in the armor there mm-hmm. of their buy power. So Dana knows what. You say a lot of things about Dana. He knows how to promote fights. You know, he knows the orders and what to do.
Still waiting for him to fix boxing.
I am too. But I would.
I know you. I know he's not as accessible as he once was, yeah. But we need to get him on. I have questions.
I can give it a shot.
But why don't you give it a good shot, though? I want you to remind him who made Dana White.
Yeah, that's a great point. Who, Dana? Come on, buddy. Who nursed you through some of those horrible things that happened in the early 2000s? Who was there by your side?
Hey, who was the only one that was actually like championing your sport well before it had taken off?
Where's the loyalty, Dana?
Loyalty. That's Kendrick Lamar.
Number two.
Question two.
Hey, it's another good question I wrote. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that 36-year-old Chris Paul is going to be lifting up his first O'Brien trophy at the end of the playoffs?
I mean, the Suns beat the Lakers in five. Five? Six. Five.
Doesn't
six.
Doesn't matter.
The Suns swept the Nuggets and the MVP. Both teams had injury issues. And now you look, they're not even the top seed. The Jazz are. We don't even know if the Jazz are going to get past the Clippers, and the Clippers are made for the playoffs. What?
I was just doing Clippers.
No, you're doing the Clippers. I'm sorry. You're doing a snip, snip.
Hey, now.
It's not fun to see at my age.
You haven't been snipped.
No.
Interesting.
Nope.
Moving on.
Ain't happening. And then you have the Bucks, the Nets, the Sixers, and the Hawks. I'd say I'm 50% sure. I'd give it a coin flip.
You'll say a 5 out of 1 to 10, you're five a 5.
5 out of 10, yeah.
I'm still at a 4. I still don't believe it. I'm not a Phoenix believer yet.
I hear you.
Again, and I said, you know what? You're going to start hearing people talk about, like, well, they played the Lakers with Anthony Davis who couldn't go and a semi-banged-up LeBron, and then Jamal Murray wasn't available for the Nuggets. And I guess there's a part of me that's still hanging on to that a little bit. I just haven't bought in fully. I'm going to give it a 4. I am confident he'll be holding up the O'Brien trophy. Give it a 4 out of 10.
But I'm rooting for it.
I'm not.
I'm rooting for the Phoenix Suns.
It's such a hater move of me, but I'm not.
The whole thing, because it gives us hope. Also, simultaneously, makes us feel worse.
See, that's what I'm more on that side of that equation.
The team that had the number one pick the year we had the number two pick, meaning they were a worse team.
Mm-hmm.
And they are 8 wins away from winning a championship.
Yeah. I mean, the conference finals, if you ask me, is already an accomplishment for that team.
Yeah.
Going from no playoffs for 10 years to the conference finals, like, that's an accomplishment. But to your point, if they get to the NBA finals, like, it's tears for me. Go Bucks. Go PJ Tucker's Bucks.
What if it's Nets and Suns?
Oh, man, that hurts. But I would have to go to – I would default to the Suns at that point. At that point, you're right.
I'm guessing Hawks and Sixers. You'd go Hawks or Sixers?
If it's the Hawks or Sixers, I'll definitely go Hawks or Sixers, yes.
And besides,
did you realize what you just asked me?
What?
You said if it's Hawks or Sixers, do you go Hawks or Sixers?
Oh, sorry.
I do.
Hawks and Sixers over the Suns. By the way.
Yeah, I'll go Sixers over the Suns.
Even if the Suns make the Western Conference playoffs this year, or finals, and they don't advance this year, that team is young and set up. It's not... Teams don't just make the Western Conference Finals, lose, sure, and don't ever go back.
Yeah, that never happens. Or make the NBA Finals one year and get bounced in 4 games the next year, like Miami this year. Anyways.
Number 3.
Question 3.
Le'Veon Bell commented on Instagram that he would never play for Andy Reid again. This is Bell's third issue with as many organizations. Would you sign Le'Veon at this point if you were a GM in need of a running back?
Le'Veon Bell hopefully is good with his money and has made quite a bit of it, so he can put up the W sign all he wants, and God bless him. But he's an example of a guy that just does himself no favors at all. First off, he's not what he was. We know this. But when you go to 3 different organizations and the best team in football over the last 5 years is one of them, in the Chiefs, The San Antonio Spurs of football and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll give them the Jets.
Everybody gets that out.
But Le'Veon, it's you. Mm-hmm. It's not them, it's you, dude. You can say what you want. It's not them, it's you. And to go after Andy Reid like that publicly and then not say what it's about and then pull it back. I feel. I say, well, I shouldn't have shared it, though. Well, what is your specific concern with Andy Reid that nobody else ever has ever had?
Also, at what point do you realize, hey, man, I've gone down a couple notches, and I play arguably the most replaceable position on offense in the NFL. Yeah. Maybe I should, you know, try being someone that people will desire.
Le'Veon
possibly.
Bell was a revolutionary running back in the sense that he was amazing at waiting for blocks.
Yeah.
And running, but that only works when you have that burst to fill that hole, and he didn't have that burst anymore. Sorry, dude. Ain't happening. You know, if you're a hanger-on at this point, be thankful you're in the league. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
We'll get some news from Ed Crane, and we will get the halftime report. We'll recap the three big stories from today. We'll talk about I don't know what to call a near tragedy, or if it was a very scary moment in the sporting world over the weekend. And also, Nikola Jokic did something that, well, hasn't been done in most people living's lifetimes over the weekend. We'll talk about that when we get back.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
These people talk endlessly, incessantly. They have a very high number of words per minute.
On Sports 1140 KHCK.
Ask if you talked to Ed during the break. Did I just mishear? It was not 106 yesterday. At all.
I didn't hear the report, so.
He said after, I apologize, maybe I misheard it. So I want to be clear. It's all, you know, it's on it. But I could have sworn I heard him say after a record 106 yesterday. I think it was not. I was outside all day.
I wasn't
day.
Here. I couldn't tell you.
I promise you it was not 106.
You went outside?
I was outside all day.
Doing what?
Had the kids swimming and did some shish kebabs.
Look at him. You get in a little bit of shape, and all of a sudden it's like, let's go outside, let the guns free.
Watching NASCAR and some, I watched basketball, a little baseball. Had the TVs on. Pool was going. You know, barbecue.
Perfect Sunday, huh? What'd you grill?
Shish kebabs. Underrated, man. We had
chicken, steak?
Yeah, we cubed up, some chicken breast and marinated it in a soy pineapple juice mixture with the same marinade but in a separate bag because you don't want to, you know, mix the chicken and the veggies. We did what? Mushrooms, red bell peppers, onions, cherry tomatoes, and something else. And then we skewer them all up, put some shrimp on at the very end, and did all that with some rice. And that was it, man. It was good times. Shish kebab's underrated.
It's good.
More surface area for you to get the, you know, Maillard effect on the chicken cubes. It's a bitch to have to, you know.
Clean?
No. The cleaning's fine. Somebody's saying that was an old news report from a couple weeks ago.
I just played what goes into the system, guys. It's all I do. I just play what goes into the system.
That would explain things. Yeah. I'm not throwing blame here. I'm saying that would explain. All I heard was 106. That's actually a new bit we're going to do from now on at 7:30, folks. It's old news. We'll just play a random news report from the year.
Old news better than bad news, say.
Okay, well, that explains it then. It was not 106 yesterday. I thought I was going crazy. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to. Let's start with halftime.
You guys suck. That's how my coach used to get me fired up at halftime.
It's halftime. As we get into the second half of the show, here's what we've been looking at so far and what we'll be talking about next.
Here's the stretch, and Trevino throws, and Santana takes on the inside corner. Ring him up, strike three called, and the ball game is over. And the A's, in their 67th game, notch their 40th win. 13 games over 500 for the first time this year. And Bob Melvin becomes the 35th manager in Major League history to reach 1,300 wins.
Well, there you go. Santana struck out to end the ball game, but Carlos Santana hit a ball. I swear to God, that thing was exit velocity is like 300 miles an hour. That was just a seed.
Carlos Santana.
But 6-3 is your final. Chris Bassett, 7-2 now. Chris Bassett's
Cy Young contending Chris Bassett.
What's crazy is you're almost certainly going to see Chris Bassett and Kevin Gausman on the All-Star team this year.
Oh, for sure.
How about that?
Bassett came over, was it last year or the year before at the deadline for like absolutely nothing.
Same old, same old. The A's send
Billy Beane, man. Yeah.
And here we are. I mean, we talked about it, but once again, the A's are in first place. The A's are in first place in mid-June. The A's are doing it with, Matt Olson should be an all-star this year. They should have 2-3 all-stars this year. But
Bassett's an all-star. Olson's an all-star.
I'm just picking a random third A. Maybe they'll have 2 all-stars. I don't know. They got a 2-game lead over the Astros. They've won 8 of 10. How about the Angels won 6 in a row?
Yeah, no one cares.
Yeah, they're 6 back. Anyway, I just
don't worry. They'll lose 12 in a row at some point.
Like we should appreciate the A's more.
Oh, should we?
I just think we should appreciate the A's more.
We?
The royal we.
Okay, because I appreciate them.
I don't know. I'm starting
I used to think you appreciated them.
The last week plus, I've really gotten turned off by some A's fans. Really gotten turned off for a different reason than I normally have fun with them. Like, not the ha-ha, you're the little brother of the Bay, LOL, let's have fun. No, more like, you're not great fans. Like that. Like, you're actually... Like, I don't say that lightly. And again, I want to be clear for you pissy A's fans out there. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you, ma'am, or you, sir. See, I met talked to a lot of A's fans last week that are just crappy. Like, it makes me go, you know what? I get why this team will leave now. Not just the Howard Terminal thing. Like, here we go. They're in first. The A's are in first place, and it's, they can't ever do anything in the playoffs. The A's are in first place. Yeah, they always let go of their free agents.
All fair all, things, all, by
but
the way.
But they're in first place.
So what?
Year after year.
And then year after year, hey, they can never build
right,
on it.
You know what? You know who has better attendance? And you know who signs all their free agents and then some? The Angels. Would you rather be the Angels and hold on to all your free agents, have a much better park?
Wait, no, the Angels sign everybody else's free agents.
I'm just saying the
poorly,
Angels,
by the way.
The Angels spend a ton of money.
Right, but what's wrong with saying, hey, we want you to spend money on guys that are good?
I understand that it's not perfect.
It's not perfect. It's awful.
But no. It's not awful when you know what's awful? The Pirates are awful.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, the Pirates are awful.
Do you know there's different levels of awful, right? It's not
that.
Like mutually exclusive.
I totally get that, dude. But it's like the thing I'm always, this is a hot button right now because I'm going at it with my daughter about this all the time because she's like in full teen mode. Uh-huh. That's what it is. A's fans got a bunch of teenagers in the mentality as fans. It doesn't matter how much good's there. Let me find the bad and just expand
and you know
that.
What? Like, teenagers like A's fans are a product of the parents not parenting correctly.
Okay, sure. Except, oh, wow. Is that?
That's not a shot at you. That's
a shot
at
me. That was a shot right at me.
No,
that was
I get
a
it.
Shot at me.
No. It was not a shot at you.
Hello. Hey, Melissa, you suck. You're a terrible parent. Sincerely, Justin Marshall.
Boy, did that just go a place I did not expect it to.
There's no way that can't be seen as a shot at my parenting.
No. It's seen because, again, not mutually exclusive. There are some great parents out there with kids that just don't listen.
Listen.
Right here.
Yeah, I got it.
But I'm saying is the reason why those kids are acting out, and there's a lot of times you can point to kids acting out, and you look at mom and dad, and you're like, oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. This is one of those situations.
I just want to know what the hell. It's like you got to have it all, dude. Because here's the way I look at things. The New York Yankees are, I think, in third place or second place, $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Astros are behind the A's, $192 million. The Angels, $182 million. Phillies, $182 million. Mm-hmm. The Red Sox, $175 million, also not in first place. The Nationals, $170 million, behind the Mets. The Cardinals. Like, here's my thing. I get that your ballpark sucks, dude. I do. I get it. But it doesn't really suck for you. Like, it sucks for the suites, and it sucks for corporate revenue. But ultimately, you're going to the game, and you can take Bart and everything else there, and you can get yourself a cheap dog, and the 97 different promotions they have every week where it's like, buy a regular season ticket at regular season prices and get 17 free hot dogs and dollar beers, and somebody will give you a massage at your seat. Like, that's not – I'm not that far off exaggerating here. And by the way, on the field itself, like, if you just took pictures – of the fields of Major League Baseball and you put Oakland's field up against everyone's else, it's a phenomenal field. It's not like they're the jokes.
Well, when the sewage isn't.
No, it's not like they're dodging radiators and hubcaps out there.
I mean, they're not far off.
It's a pretty field. It's a fine field. And by the way, every time we go down to spring training, the players themselves are always speaking up about how, hey, listen, we get the Coliseum thing and all that. We love this field. They take amazing care of it. It's gorgeous, blah, blah, blah. It's easy to get to. It's cheap.
What's the point we're getting at here?
My point is there's a lot to be happy about if you're an A's fan. There's a lot to be excited about if you're an A's fan. I get that you don't spend top 10, but the bottom line,
it's not about spending top 10.
But it kind of is, because here's the thing I see so much from them is they're like, oh, we let everybody go and this and that, and we don't spend. I get it, but it's not. Nobody has ever won a World Series solely on, hey, they spent the most money or they signed their free agent. You win a World Series by finishing in first place.
You also win a World Series by retaining and building.
I understand.
Every year they get the carpet pulled out from under them. It's like, okay, let me put this, let me get back into your favorite realm, Kings fans, right? Because we always put it back into that realm.
Sure.
Imagine every year this team drafted super well, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine. I know that seems far, like a galaxy far, far away, but let's imagine that's a real thing, okay? Take De'Aaron Fox, for example, and after De'Aaron Fox's fourth year where you clearly see, man, this guy is going to be that guy, and they trade him for a 2027 first-round pick. And
I'm glad you're doing this. Let's say let's say we've been dealing with that for 15 years.
No, they've been dealing with this for over 20.
But I'm saying, Kings fans, let's parallel it down. So, what would we say? Kevin Martin got traded. Then DeMarcus Cousins got traded in 2013.
See, here's again.
I'm taking your analogy.
No, I put it in the proper context then.
They're trading. No, I'm trying to think of all their best players getting traded away. However, how many times did they make the playoffs in the last 15 years in this scenario?
This is what I said. In a galaxy far, far away, put it in proper context. Because we're not putting it in proper context. We're putting it in the current context.
And we're still in Arco, by the way.
Put it in the proper context of... There you go. That's even better. We're still in Arco. We have issues with the arena.
No Golden 1 Center.
Every 3 or 4 years, this team shows like, oh my God, we have something in Sacramento. And it just gets the carpet taken right out from under you. Why? Because ownership doesn't want to pay good players. So what we have to do is just hope that, you know what, maybe they'll draft another superstar. And that superstar can win a title in 3 to 4 years before we trade him. I guarantee you everybody in the city that is a Kings fan would be in full-on revolt of that being a thing for 20 years.
If they didn't have perspective.
And what is that perspective?
The perspective is what the Kings are doing right now and what reality is for the Kings. The Kings are the anti-A's. They have a gorgeous stadium.
Again, from that standpoint, yes.
They have no idea how to draft or sign free agents whatsoever.
That's why I said in a galaxy
their
far, far away.
Their talent evaluation is terrible. And they don't ever make the playoffs. So on one side of the ledger, you have the Kings. Again, pretty much the opposite of everything with the A's, from stadium to talent evaluation to results at the end of the year. On the other end, you have the A's. They do know how to draft and trade well. They do know how to evaluate talent. They don't spend any money whatsoever. I mean, Kings have spent money. And they have a crappy ballpark. But then put a line at the bottom like it's a math problem. Kings, 15 years, zero playoffs. A's, 15 years, I don't know what, 9, 8, something in their playoffs?
Let's just say half.
Okay, right. If you don't have, it's not a black or white thing. You can be upset at the free agents. You can be upset at ownership. You can be upset about the stadium. You can be upset about having guys traded underneath you. You can be upset about the Giants in San Jose. I don't blame you. You can be upset about the Giants in the Rivercats. I don't blame you. But they're in first place again.
Yeah.
After they were in the playoffs last year.
And guess what? In September, if they're still in first place, you'll see attendance go up.
Kind of, sort of, I guess.
You saw what happened last year when they're in the playoffs. You see it every year in the playoffs. It's sold out.
But in the, yeah, right. Wait, what?
In the playoffs, it's sold out.
Well, in the playoffs, yeah. I thought you were talking about like towards the end of the
year. No.
My thing with the A's is this. And again, by the way, we're very aware that coronavirus restrictions are happening and there's reasons like that. This isn't an A's attendance thing, but it's just the general malaise, not Colonel or Sergeant malaise. This is general malaise amongst A's fans. Like, I get that, like, you got to compartmentalize, man. Like, have on the left side of your brain all the crap. But, oh, my God.
If this
Look
was
what, they're a miracle dude, every
if,
year.
If this was a one-time thing, that's a lot easier. But what I'm saying is 20-plus years of the same TV show ending the exact same way.
With them in the playoffs?
With them in the playoffs, then losing in the first round or in the wild card, and then, oh, any semblance of a team that we can build with, we're just going to get rid of them?
There's about 20 teams in baseball that would trade places with them 100% of the time.
And that still doesn't justify it.
And isn't there something also to... You know, I know Oakland's technically not a small market, but hey, we're a small market. We don't have the money all these other teams have. And oh my God, look at us every single year. By the way, Tampa Bay should feel the same.
But it's
way.
Not every single year. It's not every single
it's
year.
It's not every single year. It's more often than not, or at least
it's
half.
About split. And
fine.
Again,
that's still better
that's
than 20
the problem is, oh, all right, we're going to suck, guys. And then we're going to give you this hope, right? And then every year when we feel like we have these building blocks to truly contend, we're going to. Yank
but
the carpet
I don't
out.
Know that you can necessarily tie that. Okay, I'm going to be really lame here. But, like, look at Tampa Bay last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right up against the two games away from the lowest payroll in the league, I think, beating either the highest or second highest payroll in the league. The Twins have been successful. Not this year, but they've been pretty
successful.
The Twins,
when was the last time the Twins won a playoff game?
I'm talking about regular season. Because here's the thing. Once you get into the baseball playoffs are different. They're different. They're different than football, and they're different than basketball, and you know that they are.
I know they're different, but you
get hot.
But you also still need your building blocks and to be able to continuously build towards something.
You do, but you can also put things together with duct tape and all this other crap.
But you know that's not the sustainable model of success.
I mean, listen, you can argue, hey, the Giants had Buster Posey and Madison Bumgarner, and they had Brandon Belt and Brandon Crawford. Nobody had
Oh, and you know what they did? It's nobody, this crazy nobody, thing. Guess what? They re-signed all of them.
Nobody had them winning those World Series.
You're right.
They got hot.
I get it.
They got hot.
I get it. But you know what? If they don't re-sign some of those key cogs and make sure they're locked up, they don't win multiple World
Series. I don't
know.
I don't know because in the meantime, I'm watching Cody What's-His-Face and Aubrey Who's-His-Face and Travis Who's-His-Whatever coming up heroes, and yes, granted, there was a base and a foundation.
But that's my
them.
Point. But you just made
A's,
my whole
but
point.
The A's, but the A's had Matt Chapman, and the A's had Matt Olson last year.
Last year?
The A's, they
and
have
they'll
them
have them this year. Will they have them next year?
They have them this year? I don't know, but this
but
year.
But that's the point!
But why is it that A's fan is continually looking towards the future instead of looking at right now, this is what we have. We have a successful
because,
team.
Because, Dave, there is a... It's happened. The future. They've already seen the future. You know why? Because it's the same TV show with the same ending, just different cast every... 5 years.
What's past is not always prologue, dude.
No,
every
but
year,
look,
every
dude,
year is
it's
a snapshot.
Cool year. It's not.
Every year is a snapshot. Look at the Suns this year.
Look at the Suns this year again. We can't keep looking at the exception and trying to make it the rule.
But it happens.
Of course it
not
happens.
One, and not once in a blue moon coming up at 8:35. It does happen.
Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer.
Thank you.
It does happen. But again, you're trying to argue that the exception is now the rule, and it's not.
Here's my deal. Oakland... no doubt, is having to do trigonometry when everyone else is doing basic algebra.
And it's Oakland's fault.
I get it.
The city had the team, by the way.
Their road is a dirt road. Well, everyone else, maybe except for Tampa Bay and one other, they're on a nice, tarred, you know, beautiful, smooth road. I'm not denying any of that. And I'm not saying this is not A's fan. You have no reason to be upset. I've tried to make that clear. I just see it's like moths to a flame.
Mm-hmm.
But look at what's going on. You have these players. You have this amazing manager. Billy Bean is still in charge. Matt Olson, Matt Chapman, Chris Bassett, whatever. They're there. You're correct. Will they be there next year? I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be married next year.
Yeah, you do.
I don't. You I do. Think I will. I don't know if I'm going to have a job next year. I think I will. I don't know. I can't spend my whole life worried about what's in a year because eventually it's going to happen. Eventually my wife will leave me. Eventually I'm going to get fired. Eventually my kids are going to leave the house. And I'm going to be sitting in some dark room with a lamp on watching old Sanford and Son reruns with a bottle of Cutty Sark.
Ew.
And I'm going to be sitting there wondering why I didn't savor the good times. Because here's the thing.
Because the bad times overshadow them.
But you can prepare all you want for the bad times. It's not going to make it any better when the bad times show you. You're not going to be like, well, I was prepared for that horrible divorce, so it was better. No, dude, it's still a horrible divorce. Enjoy the marriage while you have it.
Said no married person ever.
Hey, man. Yeah.
No married person's going to make that argument, so why would you make that argument for baseball?
Slow down.
I'm not.
You move too fast.
I'm
you
got to
make
up.
The morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Look at him. Feeling groovy. You got to, yes, yeah, smell the roses. Or just, you know, be, you know, Tim, it's funny. Tim, the A's fan, always calls me Eeyore. They should change the freaking elephant to an Eeyore.
You know what? Changing the elephant to Eeyore the donkey may not be the worst idea. And boy, there's some other jokes to make with that, and we're just not going to do it.
Roman Coliseum, still one of the biggest tourist attractions in the world. You don't see them trying to refurbish and build a new one.
Also, the Coliseum should just stay as is.
Thank you. Works in Rome.
Oakland Coliseum, hashtag greater sign.
Spelled differently.
Roman Coliseum.
Take a break. Yeah!
That was nice.
Coming up next.
Now everyone's like, dude, your wife's really going to laugh. I don't know. No,
she's
I
gone.
Don't. There's no signs
she's
of her.
Gone.
I'm just saying. I'm not going to sit around and worry about
but
it.
She
God.
Ain't left yet. I think you're in the clear.
I mean, you know, listen. She's not going to leave this gun show
I'm
anymore.
I'm saying, too.
She, that stock's going up, baby.
Nah, when you got pecs like a god.
8:05. We will talk NBA playoffs and also the weekend events as well. We didn't get to halftime. We got to one thing on halftime. So
no, we got to halftime. We just didn't get to the rest of halftime. You know what? That's an improvement over the last 2 weeks.
I didn't expect 20 minutes of A's talk. I didn't expect it. It happened. More everything coming up right after.